Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Robin Cole, Executive Director of Pawnee Mental Health here this morning. And lots going on over there with a lot of different things. We've been talking, obviously, some good news with grants. And now we go down to Topeka and talk a little bit about what happened this legislative session, maybe some things that did happen and some things maybe that didn't happen that you would have liked to have seen.
Absolutely. There were some really great things that happened this year with the legislature. One of those things is that contained within the budget bill that the governor did sign was a $2 million increase in base funding for community mental health centers. And again, I think that part of this goes back to the recognition that more than ever, community mental health centers need to be equipped, prepared, and appropriately funded to be able to respond to the needs of the communities for mental health services. Another really exciting thing that happened was that KDADS, or the Kansas Department of Aging and Disability Services, received $5 million to develop something called mobile crisis services. And so KDADS has contracted with Beacon Health Options to manage this new program. And in its first wave, the program will respond to child and family issues in the home. The second wave will be to respond to adults in their home with this mobile crisis service. You know, I probably have as many questions as the next person about what this is going to look like. It's not been implemented yet. Beacon is going to be reaching out to the community mental health centers to assist them with this because the community mental health centers are the logical community resource for being a part of this mobile crisis service. We serve all 105 counties throughout the state. There really is no other organized association of mental health providers that have that broad of a contact or outreach. So be watching that, and we'll be paying attention to how KDADS and Beacon Health Options develop this mobile crisis service. In addition to that, the legislature also passed the 988 crisis line bill. And so, as you know, 911 is the phone number, even little kids, preschoolers know to call 911 when a family member is facing a healthcare emergency. 988, I think, will become synonymous with that for mental health emergencies. And so the legislature approved initial funding for the development of the 988 crisis line in Kansas. It's likely that they'll be revisiting this next year and pursuing cell phone fees for sustainable funding. That piece of it still needs to be developed. The plan is that once 988 becomes active in Kansas, that mobile crisis initiative that I mentioned that Beacon is working on will link to 988 call centers for dispatch. Another exciting thing that happened was that the state passed an opioid addiction bill that will provide additional funding for substance abuse mitigation and treatment across the state. Substance abuse services in some ways have been more poorly funded than mental health services. And so this is an important opportunity for us to make substance abuse treatment and prevention more widely available throughout the state. In addition to that, and this wasn't really a legislative act, but KDADS received a notice of award from SAMHSA. This also was a part of the COVID relief funding, a grant of $20.4 million. And that money has to be used throughout the departments that the department or throughout the agencies that the Kansas Department of Aging and Disability Services oversees between now and 2025. KDADS will be working on what their plan is for how they're going to use that money. That has to be submitted to the federal government by July 2nd. So they have received a total of $37.8 million through COVID relief packages, both those that were initiated in 2020, as well as those that were initiated in 2021. When I think about what didn't happen was that the moratorium at Osawatomie State Hospital was not lifted. That moratorium, if you recall, is 5 years old. It was a result of the federal government determining that Osawatomie State Hospital was overcrowded and unsafe. The state hospital then implemented the moratorium. And since that time, it's been a real challenge for people to be admitted to the hospital without having to be placed on a wait list. There was language in a budget bill that would have ended the moratorium. The governor vetoed the language, not because she thinks that the moratorium shouldn't be ended, but because she had concerns that the way that it would happen would put undue pressures on the workforce, and that might just exacerbate the problem, due to having difficulty finding people that were willing to work in the state hospital. The other thing that didn't happen was that there wasn't an opportunity for a robust debate about Medicaid expansion. And so once again, Kansas remains one of 10 states in the nation that has not expanded its Medicaid program, which means that there are people who could be eligible for healthcare coverage who aren't. And it also means that federal dollars that other states are receiving towards their Medicaid programs are not coming into Kansas. They're going into other states. And you and I are paying those taxes to help support Medicaid programs in the 40 other states. Hmm. And so that's another one of those things that didn't happen this year.
Sure. Well, with that moratorium not being lifted, it's surprising it's been 5 years already. What kind of pressure does that put on, other community mental health centers? And then also, the longer it sits, I imagine the facility eventually is going to start becoming in disrepair.
The hospital is still open. It's just that they're not able to serve as many people as they once did.
Okay.
And the real pressure, there is absolutely pressure on the community mental health centers, because the community mental health centers are the gatekeepers for admission to the state hospitals. But I think that the really undue pressure is on the individuals and the family members of those individuals who are a danger to themselves or others due to their mental illness, and they either can't or won't consent to treatment. That's where the real undue pressure is. And then there is additional undue pressure on our hospitals and our law enforcement agencies. On our hospitals, because oftentimes these individuals who are a danger to themselves and others but can't or won't consent to treatment are in our hospital emergency rooms waiting for there to be a bed available to them at the state psychiatric hospital. Or if, as a result of their mental illness, they've also committed a crime, then they're in the custody of law enforcement in jail, a danger to themselves or others due to mental illness, and they can't or won't consent to treatment, and they may have committed a crime. And so then our law enforcement officers, our jails, are holding these folks, and jail is not the place. In the same way that a hospital emergency room isn't the place for somebody with a serious mental illness, to be parked for days because there's not a bed available for them in the hospital, jail is not an appropriate place for someone to be confined due to what is a primary problem of mental illness. So it continues to be an issue. It continues to be a challenge. The development of the crisis stabilization units across the state will help reduce that. There's also effort underway to develop regionalized state hospital beds. Once that takes effect, that will also help reduce some of this problem. But, you know, the development of those regionalized state hospital beds is still in the future. But it's an issue that we all should be concerned about.
All right. And Robin Cole joining us here, Executive Director of Pawnee Mental Health Services. Lastly here, as we get into the final stage of our interview, request for services, I see that as a topic here.
Yes. You know, on the front end of the pandemic, so probably a year or so ago, we saw people really hunkering down. They weren't reaching out for services. The number of new clients who were reaching out really shrunk pretty dramatically in the beginning. I think people were afraid to reach out. And so they just kind of were waiting for things to you know, they were just biding their time, waiting for things to fly over. But as things have begun to loosen up, we have seen dramatic increases in the demand for services, both our routine services and then also a pretty significant increase in the demand for services through the crisis stabilization unit. So we are doing our best to try to accommodate that to that need. And I think that all the things we've been hearing about the rising mental health needs, especially rising rates of anxiety and depression, we're seeing here at Pawnee Mental Health, both in the Manhattan community and in our 10-county service area. And community mental health centers across the state are describing similar dynamics with increased numbers of people reaching out for help.
All right. Well, that's an unfortunate maybe thing here with the pandemic, and but it's good. It's good that people are reaching out for help. It's just unfortunate that it's so widespread.
Yes. Yeah.
Memorial Day. Let's talk about Memorial Day hours here for Pawnee Mental Health.
Yes. Our routine hours or our routine services will be closed for Memorial Day, so we can give our staff a day to rest and to reflect. But the CSU, of course, will be open 24/7. And so in the case of mental health emergencies, that resource remains available, as well as the 24-hour phone line. So we always want people to know that there is never a wrong time to reach out for mental health services.
All right, good note there. Well, Robin, we appreciate the time, and we'll again talk to you in June.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brandon.